From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. On Friday, CIA Director John Brennan announced big changes at the intelligence agency, the biggest restructuring in decades, a focus on digital operations, an overhaul in the chain of command. Brennan's discussion of the changes offers a rare look inside the world of CIA analysis and operations, a world of Al-Qaeda and ISIS, black sites, cyber warfare, drones, and deep controversy. This hour On Point, restructuring the CIA. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. What would you make job one at the CIA? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Washington is Mark Mazzetti, Pulitzer Prize-winning national security correspondent for The New York Times, author of The Way of the Knife, The CIA, A Secret Army, and A War at the Ends of the Earth. Mark Mazzetti, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom.
Would you be good enough to walk us through the essential elements of this restructuring? What's going on here?
Well, the key points I think that Brennan is trying to make in the restructuring is that the analysts and the officers, the case officers who are the undercover people who go abroad and gather intelligence, are going to be working a lot more closely together, focused in specific centers, what they call mission centers. And there's going to be about 10 of them, and they're going to be focused around specific missions. And so whether it's counterterrorism, whether it's Russia, whether it's Europe, Africa, there's going to be a closer lash together of the analysts and the case officers. That's one big thing that Brennan's trying to do. Another thing is the creation of a new directorate in the CIA. There was four, there's going to be five, and the new directorate is focused on digital operations, everything from cyber spying to data storage, to data analysis. In other words, to bring the agency up to date with the digital world with this new directorate. So those are sort of the broad brush points. And the idea, according to Brennan, is to make the CIA more relevant and able to deal with the current threats better, whether it's cyber hacking or ISIS, that the CIA, as it was structured decades ago, just is not very efficient in dealing with these new threats.
You sat with Director Brennan last week, along with other reporters, even before the CIA was briefed, put a blackout on this until all the announcement came out on Friday. In that sit-down, Brennan called these huge changes. Why this sense that this is such a big deal? I mean, every once in a while there's an org chart reorganization. What's huge about this?
Well, I think we should, you know, reserve judgment about how huge it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's his right to reorganize the agency he runs. The real question, which I think is unanswerable at this point, is will it make the CIA better at spying? Will it make the CIA better at analysis? Will it make the CIA better understand the intentions of countries like Iran or Putin in Russia? You know, that is really something that you can't answer just when they announce a restructuring. Mm-hmm. Certainly the intention is that. So just how big a deal is this? I think, you know, maybe some time before we know.
What's driving the move? It's not easy to reorganize an agency, especially a big one like the CIA. There are always entrenched interests. When you go in and restructure, there's got to be a lot of motivation at your back. What's motivating Brennan here?
Well, that's a good question. And we didn't get a lot of detail in our briefing. And he even raised the question, so if it's not fully broken, why fix it? And the question is, what is broken and what are the problems? Clearly, Brennan came into the CIA. He's now been there 2 years with an idea that things needed to change. And it's interesting. He came from the White House. He was the White House top counterterrorism advisor during the first term. And he is, of course, a CIA veteran. So I think some of this is coming from a White House perspective. He saw how the agency interacted with the White House, what it gave the president, and that there was something lacking and that there needed to be a change. What he kept talking about in the briefing was the problem of holding individual people responsible and accountable for specific things. So in other words, if something blows up, literally or figuratively, mm-hmm. there is not one person in the agency who has visibility on all aspects of that crisis. crisis, the analysts, the operators. And the idea is, in his mind, to create a chain of command where one person has oversight over a breadth of issues within this one area. And it's interesting because he even raised the idea of the Pentagon, that that the Pentagon is divided among combatant commands, Central Command, Pacific Command, that sort of carve up the world and put a four-star commander in charge of an area. And he said he liked that model because it held one person accountable for that region. And it seems like that's, to some degree, what he's trying to get at here.
He wants to get rid of the seams, of things getting lost in the seams between different areas of responsibility. To do that, as you say, they're going to set up these mission centers, buckets to handle individual challenges or problems. Give us the sense of what some of those mission centers will be focused on. What are the focus? What's the focus of this one or that one?
Well, he didn't lay out what each mission center would be, but we get a sense of what some of them are. Certainly, there already exists a counterterrorism center, which was founded in the 80s. And that was, in some ways, that is a model for what Brennan is trying to do here. The counterterrorism center focuses, obviously, on terrorist networks around the world. The analysts and the operators work closely together and to try to better understand these networks. So using that model to some degree, there's also a counterproliferation center, which tries to track nuclear and proliferation of other weapons. I think we'll see a mission center devoted to Africa. We'll see a mission center devoted to Europe. Again, Brennan did not detail all of the mission centers, but I think they're going to largely track with some of the divisions that currently exist within the CIA.
There's been a lot of talk among people in the CIA and beyond that this sewing more closely together the analysts and the ops guys. I mean, back in the 80s, I'm reading here, they didn't even share a cafeteria at the CIA because they wanted to keep their identities anonymous, and they didn't want the operations guys out in the field sort of sending the dust of the field back into analysis where it might bias analysis. What about the concern that if you get the analysts and the ops guys too tightly sewn together, you won't get cool, calm analysis of what's going on?
I think some of the concern is the cultural concern, right? Especially within what's called, once again, called the Directorate of Operations, which is the undercover division. And that is the undercover case officers have long resisted giving too much information about their agents, their sources, to analysts or anyone else. I mean, mm-hmm. There's legitimate concerns about safety of sources, and they're very covetous of that information. And so this will mean greater sharing, which in their mind is a concern. I think, though, the bigger issue and potential for concern is not just the cultural one. It's that, having everyone lashed together on these specific missions does raise the problem potentially that everyone's going to be very in the weeds responding to the crisis of the day or whatever, the White House wants. Yep. Everyone jumps to and responds to it. And the people I've spoken to say the worry is that, the CIA already is criticized for not looking far enough into the horizon, not doing what's called strategic intelligence, for just looking mm-hmm. at, putting out the fires of the day. And the concern is that these new mission centers are just going to feed that.
And then the cyber piece, is that offense? Is that defense? Is it both? And how does the CIA's cyber world differ from the NSA's, which Edward Snowden has told us so much about, from the Pentagon's?
Well, so again, all those questions about what it's going to incorporate, we don't have a lot of detail on it. But certainly, the CIA has a center currently devoted to cyber operations, to doing hacking around the world, to penetrating networks of foreign governments, of terrorist networks. That will be contained within this new directorate. Your question's a good one. How is it different from the NSA and others? They've been able to deconflict their operations currently. Clearly, Brennan is trying to make a point that the CIA needs to be focused more on digital to have a greater part of its budget dealt with digital and cyber. And maybe to also try to make the point that this is not, the analog agency in a digital world. The CIA has always been focused on human spying, running sources, and with so much attention being paid to digital and cyber now, I think Brennan may be trying to make the point that the CIA can't get left behind. If you were to look to some degree cynically at it. You know, obviously creating a digital directorate is also carving out a budget and making a play that we, the CIA, need a large budget for this. Now that cyber is so popular and now that members of Congress are so interested in it and willing to give money toward it. So I don't think that budget calculations were entirely absent from these deliberations.
Mark, John Brennan was at pains to say that this is the most challenging environment the CIA has ever faced. The country has seen failures in the midst of all this challenge. The failure to see 9/11 coming, the very shaky case that was put forward for the Iraq War turned out to have elements that just weren't right at all in it. The torture that emerged, largely in the hands of the CIA in the last 10, 15 years. Is this restructuring intended to address what some would see in those instances as the CIA going off the rails or failing?
Well, it certainly Brennan didn't characterize it that way, and it's, you know, the CIA has known controversy throughout its history. It's very clear that Brennan wanted to wait to announce this restructuring until after they got through in the end of last year with the issue of the torture report from the Senate, which really was a dominant issue last year. And, you know, the post 9/11 period, the CIA has become at the center of America's secret wars. And so that itself brings controversy, but it also means the CIA has become quite important, not only for the Republican President Bush, but the Democratic President Obama. And there's no sign that that's going to let up. So, you know, I think Brennan, and it should also be said that Brennan has a very, very close relationship with the current president, with President Obama. So he no doubt is also responding to what Obama might want to see in the CIA.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about a big restructuring at the CIA announced last week, underway right now, and what it means for American intelligence. Analysis and ops closer together, new mission centers tackling very challenging times. Mark Mazzetti is with us, national security correspondent for the New York Times. During his Senate confirmation hearing to the CIA to be director back in 2013, then Deputy National Security Advisor John Brennan talked about his goals for the drone program, CIA very active there, and transparency and secrecy at the CIA.
I have been a strong proponent of trying to be as open as possible with these programs as far as our explaining what we're doing. What we need to do is optimize transparency on these issues, but at the same time, optimize secrecy and the protection of our national security.
That Senate torture report, when it came out, very painful reading right there. In December, Brennan responded to that, called the torture report flawed and partisan, but he acknowledged there were times CIA officers did not act appropriately.
I certainly agree that there were times when CIA officers exceeded the policy guidance that was given and the authorized techniques that were approved and determined to be lawful. They went outside of the bounds in terms of their actions as part of that interrogation process. They were harsh. As I said, in some instances, I consider them abhorrent.
Let's dig on into this restructuring. You heard that, harsh and in some instances abhorrent, but let's look at where this restructuring may take the Central Intelligence Agency. Joining us now from Washington, Jane Harman, Director, President, CEO of the Woodrow Wilson Center, former nine-term Democratic Congresswoman from California. She spent 8 years on the Intelligence Committee, was ranking member between 2002 and 2006, 6 years on the Armed Services Committee, 8 years on the Homeland Security Committee. Has paid a lot of attention to American intelligence. Terrific piece she's just got out in Foreign Affairs magazine, headlined Disrupting the Intelligence Community. America's Spy Agencies Need an Upgrade. Jane Harman, welcome to On Point.
Thank you, Tom.
And from Washington, John McLaughlin joins us. He advised current CIA Director John Brennan's team on the new CIA restructuring that we're talking about today that is now underway. 30 years as a CIA analyst, retired in 2004. He was former deputy CIA director from critical period, from 2000 to 2004, acting director in the summer of 2004. Founder of the CIA's Sherman Kent School for Intelligence Analysis. He was in the middle of the case for the Iraq War, was also in the middle of that period where black sites and enhanced interrogation, torture went on at the CIA. John McLaughlin, welcome to On Point.
Thank you, Tom.
John, you were in the middle of the planning for this restructuring. What's driving it? What's the motivation?
I think what's going on here is that the director is trying to bring the CIA into line with the world as it is today. You can't look at any single issue in isolation. The issues are very complex. They involve trying to understand something like Iran or China or terrorism. Involves integrating all of the disciplines of intelligence. And I think the problem he saw here is that the intelligence disciplines, that is, operations, analysis, science and technology, are all in separate bins within the agency. And while they have worked more closely together in recent years, they haven't worked in an integrated fashion the way that we have been able to get them to work in a few areas, such as counterterrorism. As Mark said, I think the Counterterrorism Center is a model for what he's done in the new mission centers, in the sense that we've discovered over the years when you put analysts and operators together, the synergy produces a more powerful product. The way I'd explain it is that typically it is your analysts who know what they know and what they don't know, and what they don't know is what we need to collect. And the sooner you can close that gap between what we don't know and what we need to collect, the better off you are. So analysts inform operations, and operations inform analysis. And if you can have them working closely together, you get a better product.
How tightly tied is that relationship? How tightly tied should it be? I mean, you say counterterrorism, that can mean many things. It has very often meant drone killings by the CIA, which have emerged as a pretty significant undertaking by the CIA. Does this mean you've got analysts in there targeting terrorist targets? Is that the kind of tight coordination that the agency is seeking here, John?
Well, to unpeel that counterterrorism center a bit, that's part of what analysts do. There are analysts called targeting analysts, but there are also analysts who help understand the shape of terrorist networks and figure out where are the critical nodes where they can be disrupted by a capture or by having a foreign intelligence service intervene in some way or a police service somewhere around the world. We've also done this in counter-narcotics operations as well, where there's a counter-narcotics center that operates in a similar way. So it's not just the sort of things that inevitably come to the attention of the media, like targeted killing and so forth. It's also the more subtle aspects of counterterrorism, which quite frankly are the larger parts of the counterterrorism effort. That is, first mapping networks, figuring out who's who are the critical leaders, what is the shape of the sanctuary, how do you disrupt things by catching operations well before they are at the point of lighting the fuse. So that's how it works there. Now, in other areas, it will work differently, where you don't have kinetic action and you're not seeking to, basically, you're not fighting a war. So if you're talking about a mission center on something like Eurasia or Africa or China, the effort will be much different. And I'm just making this up now, but because John has not revealed the nature of these centers, but let's assume you have one on China. Well, the analysts would be very instrumental in mapping the nature of the Chinese military and where they think it's going over the next 20, 25 years, and that would go directly into the operational planning and collection planning to figure out more about that, to close the gaps where we don't know what we don't know.
John McLaughlin, stand by. Jane Harmon, you've followed this world for a long time. The drop head on your piece in Foreign Affairs magazine is America's spy agencies need an upgrade. Does this restructuring look like an upgrade to you for the CIA, Jane?
It's an upgrade, but it is more a focus on the trees rather than the forest. And I think there are a lot of things left out that go to answer the question you asked, Tom, which is, what would you make job one at the CIA? If you ask me that question, I would say job one at the CIA is to completely revise the way it does what we call human intelligence. The new human is a thorough understanding of social media. And I don't see a focus in these new baskets on social media. Yes, there's a new digital basket, but everything that the CIA does needs to be digital. Everything that moves anywhere is digital. And for example, we do not understand how recruiters are being so effective with kids to get these kids to sign up as foreign fighters and leave, in many cases, decent educations and nice families to travel through Turkey to austere parts of the world and to blow themselves up. And to understand that, you have to understand a lot more than I understand about Twitter and some of these new media. It's not just who is the recruiter, but how are these recruiters, how is the code written so they can do what they do? What are the messages that penetrate? What are the motivations? And what are the motivations of the kids? And I don't think the CIA is close to that. And let me just make a couple more points.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Mazzetti wrote his excellent book at the Wilson Center. I know he meant to mention that. But it was focused on the fact that the CIA is now becoming essentially a paramilitary organization. I don't think that's necessarily bad. Someone has to be in that line of work, but it needs to be tightly circumscribed, and this reorganization doesn't even address that. John Brennan a few years back was against that mission, but guess what? The CIA is still in that mission, and efforts to move that mission to DOD, which would be the other place to do it, have not succeeded in a variety of ways. So one more point, or two more points. Mark is absolutely correct when he says that this reorganization, again focused on the trees, may discourage strategic intelligence. I think that would be an enormous loss. And finally, this organization or reorganization does not focus on something the CIA has to do for itself, but also Congress has to do better, and that is strict oversight of CIA missions. The Senate report, the Feinstein report, which is controversial, nonetheless makes a point effectively, and I don't think John Brennan disagrees, that there was not sufficient oversight of this enhanced interrogation program by the CIA itself. Contractors were hired to do the mission, and it got out of control very, very early. And that was unfortunate. Maybe Congress is to blame, too. I was there. We tried hard to get information. We got some information. Some of us pushed back. I wrote a letter about some of this. But my bottom line here is that I think there's a lot more to talk about than just these new baskets and mission centers.
I want to look back to human intelligence and how that's likely to be pursued within this new structure. But Jane Harman, you, in your terrific piece in Foreign Affairs magazine, you say that if you look at the CIA's budget, you say follow the money and one arrives at a basic fact. The CIA's edge is paramilitary. Now, that's not human intelligence, and that's a long way from strategic intelligence. What's the heart of the paramilitary activity that is now the CIA's edge, Jane?
Well, John McLaughlin, who is a very smart man about all this, and let me, you know, say to you, John, that your wisdom in your intelligence community days and post is still widely recognized, as is your prowess as a magician. Those may be related. But at any rate, you just described how some analysts, targeting analysts, provide the kind of intelligence that helps technology target bad guys. That's a crucial function which would occur even if the most of this paramilitary program moved out of the CIA. It's 10% technology and 90% targeting. And one of the problems we're having in Syria and Iraq with the use of air support is there isn't enough good targeting information available. So I don't think that mission goes away. And I didn't mean to say that it goes away. But and my point was that human intelligence drives that. But my added point is that a focus on social media is crucially necessary. And if we want to understand ISIS, we have to understand social media, and we're way behind, and that is a mission that I would put in you know, make a major focus of the CIA, not in a basket, but across everything the CIA does.
Mark Mazzetti, make the paramilitary piece real to us. You do it in your book, The Way of the Knife. Jane Harman looks at the budget and says, this is where the CIA's edge is now. What's going on there? What's the kind of activity that is, constitutes that paramilitary push?
Well, sure, and of course, I was going to mention the Wilson Center and give you the plug, which is a terrific, terrific place in Washington. You know, I think that there's been a fundamental change at the agency post 9/11. That continues today, as Jane Harman pointed out. you know, on 9/11, the White House was confronted with this fact that the a war needed to be prosecuted, and the idea was that a great amount of this war was not in declared war zones. It was not in Afghanistan, although part of it was. And what you saw was then the CIA be tasked with conducting this war around the world that was outside of declared war zones and done in secret. The CIA became the lead agency for that. So that
I mean,
not
let's just strip it away. Yeah. It's targeted killing is the heart of it, right?
Well, that was, I mean, so in the beginning, it was capture and interrogation and, you know, a lot of renditions and black sites, as you described. Mm-hmm. Later on, it was a focus on targeted killing. There was a gradual transformation or a gradual shift over the last 12 years from the capture focus to the killing focus. And so what another thing Jane Harman said was that, you know, Brennan came in 2 years ago raising concerns that the CIA has been consumed by this hunting killing mission and its other skills had atrophied. And President Obama gave a big speech in May of 2013 saying that, you know, that the CIA needed to take on new missions and that a lot of this activity needed to shift to the Pentagon. Here we are 2 years later, and really very little of that has happened. The drone program is still mostly in CIA hands, although this Pentagon does do some selective strikes, primarily in places like Somalia. And any push to get this out of the CIA really has faltered. And actually, I don't even see a push at all these days. So we'll see what happens.
John McLaughlin, can the CIA effectively be both a significant paramilitary operator and be effectively doing the big, long-term strategic intelligence work, looking at the world over the next 50 years? Does all that fit? Talk about baskets. Does that fit in one basket, John?
I think it can. You know, Jane was very complimentary of me. And let me say, I always said that she was clearly the most best-informed person in Congress on intelligence matters. So I respect her point of view, but I do disagree with some of the things that Jane said today and some of the things that Mark said. And they go to your question. In fact, I don't see the CIA's center these days, its central drumbeat, if you will, in the paramilitary area. Yes, that's the part that has come to public attention. That's the part where there have been a lot of leaks, there's been a lot of transparency. But I can tell you from briefing presidents over many years and knowing something about how this president is briefed, that every day the CIA walks into the Oval Office and sends material all over Washington that addresses every issue you see in the headlines today, whether it's the Iran nuclear question, what's going on in North Korea, what is happening with the corruption campaign and such in China. It has to do all of these things. It is it has a global mission, and paramilitary, in fact, is a rather, I wouldn't say a small part of it, because it has, as Mark correctly points out, become more important in the last 12 years, but it is still not the center of what it does. It is the thing that is perhaps most important in the sense that it involves stopping things in the world that can pose a threat to human lives, American lives, and to the physical security of our country. But it does everything else at the same time. Second point, strategic analysis. I fully agree with Jane on the need for strategic analysis. I pushed this when I was there. That is looking longer term. I think these centers are designed in part to do that. Yes, they will be drawn to the issue of the day, but what you can do and what I certainly did, what they will do in the future, I'm sure, is you have a certain number of people whose job it is to look further down the road and you separate them out. We have the National Intelligence Council, for example, under very good new leadership now, that can do longer term research, looking over the horizon out 5, 10, 20 years. They're in the process of doing something now that will look out another 15 years.
Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at WBUR.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about a big restructuring of the CIA announced last week, underway right now, what it means for American intelligence, analysis and ops closer together, new mission centers tackling very challenging times, with Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for The New York Times, Jane Harman, director, president, CEO of the Woodrow Wilson Center, a nine-term Democratic congresswoman. She was on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Congress, on the Intelligence Committee in Congress for a long time and was ranking member there for several years in the last decade. John McLaughlin is with us. He was former deputy CIA director from 2000 to 2004, acting director in the summer of 2004, 30 years as a CIA analyst, retired in 2004. John, Jane, Mark, let me go to our listeners. Corey in Atlanta, Georgia. Corey, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I think the number one job of the CIA should be to determine the limitations of itself and I guess find a way to make sure that that is not overstepped again so that the American people don't lose faith in the government.
And when you say overstep, what are you thinking of, Corey?
I'm thinking of the instances that have happened in the last 15 years, like you were pointing to, the torture instances, things like that.
Yep. Corey, we've got it. Jane Harman, are boundaries well established here? Are boundaries an issue in your mind when it comes to effective, responsible, accountable intelligence work?
Yes, I mentioned this earlier, and John Brennan acknowledged it in the case of the Feinstein report, which was issued in the Senate, which describes the enhanced interrogation program. Brennan said that the internal controls should have been stronger, and yes, they should have been stronger. But to the listener, it's also true that Congress has to provide effective oversight. Congress funds the CIA. That's a point of leverage, obviously. But Congress can only do that oversight if it's fully informed. And I'm sure John McLaughlin would agree with me that over the years it's been a struggle to get full information in Congress. And we, at least by the time I left, still didn't have full information. And just one final point. I think the CIA has to operate within strict legal limits, and increasingly, I would say that is happening. But it also has to be, as a former CIA director, Mike Hayden said, it has to be on the field. There have to be lines on the field, and CIA operators have to get chalk on their cleats. If we're going to find out the next plots against us, we need not just the CIA, but we need the intelligence community. CIA is one agency in the intelligence community, which we did reorganize after the failures on 9/11 in Iraq under the Intelligence Reform Law of 2004. The Director of National Intelligence is a joint commander across all these agencies. And, you know, I would say it's doing better. Still some glitches. They missed the Arab Spring. People didn't get the fact that social media would drive that as quickly as it did. They missed, or if they didn't miss it, the policymakers missed the fact that ISIL was growing as rapidly as it has grown and was massing on the Syrian border. And we still have to think ahead about what happens after the airstrikes in Iraq and Syria. What will logically happen to those governments, which are both fragile, and what will ISIL do?
Mark Mazzetti, it's interesting. Our first call goes to boundaries. Is it clear to you what the boundaries of operations are between CIA, NSA, Pentagon in this era, Mark?
Well, there's no question there's been a lot of blurring of the lines over the last, you know, 12, 13 years. As I said, a lot of what the CIA has done is prosecute wars that are outside of, you know, traditional war zones. The Pentagon has also, with some of its special operations units, become to look more like the CIA, looking increasing clandestine operations. So when you talk about this, you know, global clandestine war, you have a lot of different organizations participating. I do think, on the point of oversight, that it should be pointed out that, you know, for all the criticism pointed out in the Senate Intelligence Report on torture, you know, it should be known that that this program was one that was largely signed off by, you know, was signed off at the highest levels of the Bush administration. It had White House approval. It had Justice Department approval. So,
though
this
your
was not,
own reporting, Mark, said that the Senate found the CIA officials routinely misled the White House and Congress about the information they obtained.
Yeah, no.
failed
to
provide basic oversight of the prison. I mean, I take your point, but that was part of what was reported.
No, absolutely. But there is not only things that the agency did with the Justice Department's approval that people took serious issue with, but also things that went beyond the lines. And I wanted to make another point because Jane Harman brought up the Arab Spring, and I think it gets to our bigger point about this issue of paramilitary. And I didn't want to leave the impression that, you know, everyone at the CIA is running around with a joystick doing drone strikes. That's not even close to the case. I think the issue is when counterterrorism and terrorism in general can consume so much of the focus of the agency, it's potentially problematic. And I'll bring up the example of the Arab Spring. After 9/11, the CIA became very close to regimes in the Middle East and North Africa, which had their own terrorist problem. We had a common interest in chasing terrorists. Some of those same regimes, though, which we became very close to and which the CIA became very close to their spy services, were also found they were mm-hmm. faltering, mm-hmm. and the CIA had trouble finding, you know, seeing how vulnerable those regimes were, in part because they were working so closely with the spy service. And so what you do have at times is there can be a myopia where if you deal with counterterrorism, you miss bigger pictures about fragility of regimes and big trends. And that was the point I was getting at about not only strategic intelligence, but this overarching focus on counterterrorism.
John McLaughlin, let me get another call or two and bring it right to you. Jim in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. It strikes me that the biggest question and the biggest story here is only now coming out in this discussion. The big story is that we have a CIA that has spied on our Congress. We have a CIA that deceives the Congress and the White House, that it is a struggle to get information from this CIA. This is a CIA that does not accept civilian oversight, clearly, and it is a CIA that does not accept the role of Congress in its oversight. And we're finally coming around to that. And the question for your guest is it in fact possible to transform this agency into one that accepts congressional and White House oversight and actively cooperates rather than trying to impede that oversight? Thank you.
Jim, I appreciate your call. John McLaughlin, let me bring it to you. It was about as big a strain as I've ever seen between the CIA and the rest of certainly the Senate Intelligence Committee here. Dianne Feinstein talking about the interrogation program, bringing a stain on our values and our history, and livid over what she described as CIA spying on the Senate intelligence oversight work there. Can we get this balance so that there's work going on and there is real transparency with the elected officials who are supposed to oversee the CIA?
Yes, and to the extent that there has been trouble between Congress and the CIA, there's blame on both sides, and I suspect Jane would agree with that. These are huge, complicated questions you've just put out, but let me say a couple things about them. First, the CIA really wants to be transparent with Congress. Everyone at CIA accepts the need for congressional oversight, believe me.
Why should the country believe that? When the Senate looked in, what they found was a whole lot of resistance to their oversight.
No, that's not right. You're saying what everyone says, and no one mentions the fact that that was not a Senate Intelligence Committee report. That was a report by the Democrats on the committee in the Senate Intelligence Committee. There was a minority report.
The Republicans checked out of it, but it was the Senate Intelligence Committee report. Yes, it was led by Democrats, but they were elected by the people of this country, and they ran into significant resistance. It's not just what everyone says. You can read that in detail. They shared it with the country.
Well, they shared it with the country, but the minority report strongly differed with it, as did a CIA rebuttal. Few people know that the leadership of the intelligence committees was briefed on the interrogation program about 55 or 65 times between 2002 and 2006. The CIA did not mislead the Congress or the administration about what was going on in the interrogation program.
So you say, though, for the record, it should be clear that that's not the conclusion of the intelligence committee. Jane?
Yes, if I could weigh in, John is right that there's plenty of blame to go around, but I saw this movie. I was in this movie. Mm-hmm. And so let me just put a few more facts on the table. I became the ranking member, that's the senior Democrat, on the House Intelligence Committee in 2002, which was, I guess, late 2002. And I was briefed in February of 2003 by the CIA General Counsel, first I'd ever heard of the Enhanced Interrogation Program, which had started in 2002. Why was I briefed? Because I was the top Democrat. Only the so-called Gang of Eight, which is the leaders of Congress, Democrat, Republican, and the chairman and ranking member of the Intel committees, were briefed. And when I was briefed by this person about these techniques, including waterboarding, I wrote a classified letter, I can tell you now because it has since been declassified, mm-hmm. to him, questioning the legality. He said the program was totally legal, but questioning whether there'd been any policy guidance for the program. And I only learned 3 years later that this program was not justified by the existing laws on the book, but by memos that John Yoo, who has become well known, who then was a lawyer at the Office of Legal Counsel in the Justice Department, wrote. And he said, unless there's death or significant organ failure, enhanced interrogation techniques do not constitute torture. Those memos were finally released to Congress years later. They were recalled by one of the people, a guy named Jack Goldsmith, who came into OLC to be Yoo's boss. And then Goldsmith was pushed out and the memos were reinstated. So to John McLaughlin, yes, people at the CIA and people in Congress have tried hard to get this right, but there have been a lot of mistakes. And finally, let me say that the vote to investigate enhanced interrogations by the Senate Intelligence Committee was overwhelmingly bipartisan when the investigation started. Yes, it is true the Democrats and Republicans split later in the process. It was a very difficult process, both on the Hill, and I think that, you know, rolling back the videotape, the way the CIA dealt with that process became unnecessarily confrontational. Let me say that. And again, I'm saying there are very good people in all these organizations. It was very unfortunate that that process became partisan. But I think there is a lesson learned, and that lesson is that Congress has every right to do oversight like this, and that if everyone had worked together better, they could have shaped a product that would have wide acceptance and that would teach lessons that I think need to be taught.
Fernando in Miami. Fernando, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Hey, as a veteran of the armed forces, a 22-year veteran, I also did contract work in Afghanistan, Kandahar airfield. It amazes me how we in today are more concerned of this touchy-feely society that we've evolved to. The bottom line is war is messy, and we have to remember that we're getting tortured all over the place, Americans, and we have to take a stance. And if we save an American life and it was because of torture, then I'm all for it. I think that Dick Cheney in the 60 Minutes interview said it. It's a necessary evil. We continue to get pummeled in the world, and we're concerned about other people.
Fernando, I take your point, but for a long time, the United States also gained strength in the world from not being associated with torture, and that's a kind of strength too. But I appreciate your call. John McLaughlin, I'm reading in Defense One here. They talk about John Brennan's announcement last week, and they say today's announcement, this is Friday, is a formal recognition that the electronic world is overtaking the human one, that collecting information from humans now has a digital component to it. Jane began by talking about human intelligence and went right to the digital realm and social media. Is this the CIA moving away from, you know, the face-to-face kind of operations that we associated with it from all the way back to the beginning and more deeply into digital ops?
No, I don't think so. I think what you're going to see is sharpening the focus of human operations, which have been around since biblical times and will always be here. We've made the mistake in the past of de-emphasizing human operations, and we've always paid the price for it. On the social media question, Jane is quite right to say that it's important that we understand that dimension of the digital revolution that we're in. There's a lot we don't know about how this reorganization is going to work, but one of my hopes would be, and actually my belief would be, that in this digital directorate, this new organization that they're forming, there will be a greater power to look at social media by virtue of having, if you will, a career service, a place that will be attractive to people who know how to do this work, will give them a career path, and you'll be able to pull together people who, in one place, can look carefully at social media. This is already being done in some parts of the agency, which will be part of this new directorate. So I think what you're going to see is more synergy between the human intelligence collection and the digital world here. That's part of the objective. We'll have to see how it works out. This is going to be a difficult transition for the agency.
In the future, maybe you just look at somebody's Facebook page to figure out what they're up to, and you don't have to talk to them.
You do. That's part of what you do.
It's a big, complicated organization, about to undergo a huge, John Brennan says, restructuring. We got just a taste of that today, and it's fascinating to get a glimpse in. John McLaughlin, former deputy director of the CIA, thank you very much for joining us today. Jane Harmon, president and CEO of the Woodrow Wilson Center. Jane, thanks to you for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
And Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for the New York Times. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
Mark Mazzetti, author of The Way of the Knife, the CIA, a secret army, and a war at the ends of the earth. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.